We are now recording.
Okay. So we are in the very last half of the last chapter, the whole sealed Book of Mormon, sealed Book of Mormon, the Acts of the Three Nephites. And it's chapter 14, and this is all being told by the Savior. It is the first person by the Savior telling the three Nephites the meaning of the long parable of Zenos, which is recorded in the book of Jacob in the Book of Mormon. In fact, this chapter started out saying that Jesus had the book of Jacob in his hands as he's explaining this. It has something like 60, it does have exactly 60 verses. Last week we finished on number 30, because it's a long verses in a long book. So what he has talked about so far, just a quick review, is reviewed the parable and how he planted the three branches in the nethermost, the lowest parts, and we figured out that meant the wickedest parts of the vineyard, and one branch in the good part. And he's identified not only the places of where the three branches were, which were Antioch, and that's the Antioch in Syria, right up in the corner of the Mediterranean, and Greece and Rome. And then he's talked about how there was one person from each of those places, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and Lazarus, who were friends of Jesus, and they were apparently older. So now we don't know that Lazarus was older, but the other two are known from the Bible to be quite a bit older than Jesus, and they're all like mentors to him or friends to him. Not mentors, because he was teaching them, but he needed some friends in life. And there was one friend from each of these branches. And so it's showing the organization and the order of these things. And now I think we're going to talk about the fourth branch and start in verse 31. How's that for an intro?
I had a little to add.
Okay, add, please.
So you also had spoken about how this chapter is set up. The first part of it is like the Lord is talking about it and giving some explanation. And the second part, which is actually what we're going to do, get into the second part, it doesn't say as much about the Lord giving a lot of explanation.
Right. See, when it was Zenos lived about 700 BC. And when it was given to him, it was all future. Nebuchadnezzar conquering Judah, and yeah, not Israel. Israel was gone into captivity. This is worth saying. The people of God are divided into two groups, Israel and Judah, the North Kingdom and the South Kingdom, 10 tribes and 2 tribes. And the North one went bye-bye into captivity into Assyria about 723 BC. Right about the time of Zenos, and maybe before. So when Zenos gets the parable, it's going to be about Nebuchadnezzar and going into Babylon, and then the three branches. Nebuchadnezzar plants branches all around the Mediterranean. So actually, Nebuchadnezzar is the servant of the Lord. He didn't start out that way, but he's the servant. God uses whoever he's got. He's the servant that planted the branches. Who would have thought of that? You'd assume it was a prophet or something. Anyway, that is all future. Now, this is the Lord explaining it to Jonah and the three Nephites at the time of Christ. So he explains exactly what it was in the past. This is where the branches were planted. These are the people. Boom. But when it gets into the future in our day, he doesn't explain what everything is here. We'll notice that. We'll be reading that today.
Yeah.
But a lot of what we're reading is very similar to what's in the Book of Mormon. Go ahead.
So we also had gone back and we had said that the the branches, the vineyard is the globe, everything on the globe.
Yeah.
And the branches are all the people. And the fruit is the sentiments of the heart.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about usually the fruits, the works, but how they're related. Your works tend to be what your feelings. There's a relationship. But he never says in here that I didn't call much, but it's your works. Over and over he says it's the good feelings.
Right.
Or the fruit. Or the bad feelings. Bad fruit. Wild fruit. Good fruit.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So go for it. 31.
Verse 31. And the Lord of the vineyard said to the servant, look here and see the last. Behold, it refers to the descendants of Lehi, the branches of the original olive tree planted in the land of his inheritance. Behold, I have planted them on a piece of fertile land, yea, in this land overseas, and I took care of it all the time. And only a part of the tree bore good fruit, but the other part of the tree produced bitter fruit. And it happened that a long time passed since I planted them, and the branches did not produce good fruit. And the Lord of the vineyard said to his servant, come, let's go down and let us return to work in this vineyard. For behold, the time dwelleth nigh, and the end shall soon come. Therefore, I must save fruit for myself for the next season.
Okay. So this is talking about the end of the whole season. He's come and checked on the people of Lehi, and anyway, the time draws nigh, the end cometh soon. So this is toward the last times, and he's going to, and the saving fruit for the next season will be the millennium. So verse 32, it so happened after the third day after I was resurrected in Jerusalem that I came to be among my other sheep of whom I have spoken, that these I would also have to visit, which are a branch of the house of Israel planted in a fertile land. But behold, I say to you that although they live in a period of total harmony, lived in a period of total harmony for a short time, with the noble sentiments coming from the most great gift from the Spirit of God, behold, in the course of his future days, so they'll see this is going to be future for whom he's talking to, the three Nephites. The Jews in whom the plant, into whom the branches wild, which are the Gentiles that were grafted, will be overburdened with every kind of fruit, both of Jew and Gentile. And this will occur both in the land of your ancestors, which is Jerusalem area, as well as the land of your inheritance in the Americas. For how much many shall come from other lands, even many Jews from various tribes of Israel, and also from Ephraim. So many are going to come to America from all those tribes, especially Ephraim. But behold, there shall be many Gentiles coming from afar, from places overseas, and it shall be seen that none of their fruit shall be good unto me in this period of time. So that's all during,
none.
That's interesting.
None of it up until the very last days, but he'll get to that. But for a long time, just like Joseph Smith was told, all of the churches are false. Okay, 33.
Steve, I'll
read that. Oh, yes, yeah, Steve.
You want me to read?
Yeah.
Yes. It is therefore at this time that the prophecies concerning the days of the predicted darkness are fulfilled, which will cover the earth, and the sun will set on the prophets, and the light of men will become darkness, and there will be no one to tell you how much longer this will last. But what form is that church that was foretold to Nephi, son of Lehi, that would be most abominable of all the churches, whose founder is the devil, and who, for the praise of the world, will destroy the saints of God and also enslave them in that land that separates the seed of Lehi through the many waters.
Okay, so
it's pretty powerful.
Satan's abominable church will have great power.
But they've done all of the conferences and signing of papers for the United Religions. That's been done. Now they're going to implement it. I think that's the Abominable Church.
Well, Aaron Lehi explains there's only two churches. You're either in the Church of God or you're in the other one. So it doesn't have to be like just the Catholic or just this or that. There's only the two churches, and you're either with Jesus or the Satan, kind of thing. Okay, it's back to
34. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, "What shall we do for this tree, that it may again store its good fruit for me?" And the servant said to his master, "Look, because you have grafted branches of the wild olive tree, that is the Gentiles, in the natural olive tree, through Christ, then they nourish the roots, so that they are alive and not dead. See, therefore, that they are still good." And we talked about this, saying that the olive tree, the roots are always good. The branches, the canopy, the leaves, all of that, the fruit, sometimes changes, and that you get your good and your bad fruit, but the roots are always the good part.
And didn't we decide didn't it actually say that the roots tend to be the ancestors and that they were good?
Yeah.
And the branches are the new ones being born.
Yeah, I don't think we said that, but that's good.
But yeah, I believe that's explained. It's not in book form as clearly, but it was in this book more clearly.
But it goes back to the, you know, the water being polluted and even polluting the roots, and so that it showed up in the fruit. So good can start off that way, but doesn't end up that way.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yep.
And not all of the ancestors were good. So that's a good point. But
you're right, Steve. It did also say in the book
That
it shows up in the fruit.
The fruit.
It showed up in the branches and the fruit and your roots.
Right. The water goes up into the new.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Verse 35. "But behold, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, it is of no use to me, the tree and its roots, if they bear evil fruit. Nevertheless," the Lord is always after the fruit. That's what he's wanting. Anyway, "nevertheless, knowing that their roots are good, I will preserve them for a future purpose. And because of their great strength, they have produced good fruits of the grafted branches." Okay, see, the roots produce, he's giving credit to the roots for producing the good fruits of the natural branches. "And henceforth, grafted branches will grow and overcome the tree." That's right, they get too big. The branches will grow and overcome the roots of the tree. "And because the branches are grafted, will grow, and overcome the roots, then it will produce many evil fruits and be thrown into the fire unless we do something to preserve it." So he's basically saying, I'm after the fruit, and this fruit's all going bad, and you got to do something. He's still working with the servant, saying, what are we going to do to save this? Because he wants fruit. Okay.
All right. "And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, let us go down into the lower parts of the vineyard to see whether the natural branches also produced forth evil fruit. And it came to pass that they saw that the fruits of the natural branches were corrupted also because of that abominable church, yea, the first and the second, and also the last. And all the churches that had tried to bring forth good fruit had been corrupted. But behold, the Lord of the vineyard said to his servant, this is the fulfillment of the vision of Nephi concerning that man whom he saw that was separated from the seed of his brethren by the many waters. And I saw the Spirit of God come down and inspired the man. And as the man went through the many waters, he came to the seed of his brethren, which was in the land of the promise, just as he saw the Spirit of God inspire other Gentiles, which are branches of the wild olive tree, and therefore remnant of the house of Israel. And they went forth out of captivity and crossed over the many waters and received the good land by inheritance, where they humbled themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. And it's talking about the pilgrims, I'm guessing.
Right.
And the people that sought religious freedom.
Yeah.
So the verses before that, and everything before this was, this is in chronological order. That's a key point that the Savior points out in this that wasn't in the Book of Mormon. So the part before, the verses we read before this verse were about the degenerate, you know, Native American tribes before the, that were no good fruit before the pilgrims come. So the pilgrims come and that was totally religious. They make a covenant with God, etc. So, all right.
All right, 37. But these last grafted branches, that is, Gentiles, brought to this land overseas, will also surmount the seed of Lehi and his brethren, and the branch of the seed of his brethren will dry up and die. And the Lord will cry for his loss, because all the fruit of his vineyard will perish except these, but now are also corrupted. And all the trees of his vineyard are of no avail, except to be cut down and cast into the fire. So he's ready to get rid of everybody.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's all bad fruit. It looks like a total loss. The good news is the servant's going to come up. This is amazing. The Lord allows the servant to come up with a plan. He really works with people. Of course, I think he knows how it's going to come out, and he's cheering for him, but he's letting the servants grow, and the servant's going to say, wait, let's do a double crossing grafting. Oops, I just lost the page. It's 38. But behold, the Lord of the vineyard cut off the trees.
That's right.
You're right. That obstructed this piece of land and planted another tree in his place, fulfilling the promise which. Oh, this is way back. Okay, fulfilling the promise which Joseph, the son of Jacob, had. This is great. Now he's going to tie it to the prophecy of Joseph and Jacob, which is a different prophecy. So he's tying things together here. This is huge. Well, okay, I'll start over, but the other tree he's going to plant is Joseph Smith. Watch what happens here. 38. But behold, the Lord of the vineyard cut off the trees that obstructed this piece of land and planted another tree in his place, fulfilling the promise which Joseph, the son of Jacob, had obtained from God the Father when he told him that he would raise up from his loins a fair branch of the house of Israel, and being righteous, though he is a Gentile, will be counted as being part of the natural olive tree, for he will truly be a descendant of Joseph, not the Messiah, but that graft of which Lehi prophesied, which is to come in the fullness of the Gentiles in the last days, when your descendants have degenerated, fallen into unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations after the Messiah manifests himself in person to the children of men, then the fullness of my gospel shall come unto the Gentiles, and the Gentiles to the remnant of your descendants.
Awesome. I didn't pick that up about planted another tree.
Right.
Another tree. That's
Joseph. See, that's Joseph Smith. The point is,
that fits.
He's tying, he's not just explaining the parable of Zenos, because there's nothing about another tree in the parable of Zenos or Jacob.
No. Nope.
He's pointing out that Lehi, there's a double thing here on Joseph. Lehi has a son named Joseph, but when he talks, he gives a prophecy that Joseph of Egypt will have a descendant that will be raised up to these people in the last days. He ties those two together. So he's actually adding another tree. That's not an original parable.
Okay.
And I didn't get that till just now.
Why we're reading this together. That's why we're doing it.
All right. Steve, maybe a couple of verses here.
Okay. 39, yea, to bring the Gentiles out of the darkness, which shall be upon the earth in those days. Nevertheless, this graft will be a seer who will guide my people again to the path of life. And the Lord of the vineyard saw that a part of this planted tree in the last days produced good and bad fruit, that is, good and bad feelings in the people who make up the branches of his vineyard, in such a way that the brave branch produced bad fruits that surpassed the good branch. And now, after all the care we have taken with the vineyards, its grafts have been corrupted so that none of them bring forth good fruit. And these I hope to keep in order to get its fruits for me for the season to come. Ooh.
Yeah.
So, this is stuff going to be added, and it's not going to be explained in detail, but it's for us to know. And he's definitely filling out the parable, the allegory.
Okay. 41. But behold, they, and is they the Gentiles?
I think so, yes.
Okay. But behold, they became like the wild olive tree, and they are of no use except to be cut down and cast into the fire. But I feel sorry to lose them, just like the rest of my vineyard. What else could, however, I have done in my vineyard? I have nourished them, and I have digged about them, and I have pruned, and I have fertilized its roots, and I have stretched forth my hand almost all the days long. But behold, the end draweth nigh, and therefore I feel I have to cut down all the trees of my vineyard and cast them into the fire that they may be burnt. Who is it that has corrupted my vineyard?
Okay. So he's still ready to...
He's disappointed.
Burn the whole thing. And you know, I have never caught it before now. I'm just going to suggest the idea. Let's read on and see if we understand it. But it really sounds to me like he's... Verse 38, he planted a new tree, Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
And verse 39, he's grafting him in and bringing in light to the Gentiles. And then even after Joseph Smith has done that, he says, even that turned bad. And even after all that, he's still ready to burn the whole thing. I did not pick that up before.
Well, he said he did everything he could think of to do.
I know, but this the last trick was to plant this new tree, Joseph Smith. And it's really saying that, I think it's saying that it's gone bad too.
Yes, that's what I'm getting.
I can't get around it. The corporate church has gone bad too. But that's in this book. Did you all notice that before? Or
No.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Right. We're getting something new here. That this is saying, see, the regular parable of Zenus just says they do this cross. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. I've never understood that. In the parable of Zenus, it says that what the servant said as the last ditch effort was they took some of the branches from the European tree and planted them in the American tree. That I understood as, okay, the Spanish missionaries come over and convert the Indians to be Catholics. I mean, you know, that's sort of what that's about. And then it says, They take some of the branches of the American tree, that'd be the degenerate Indians, and plant them back over in the Jerusalem, not plant, but graft them into the Jerusalem tree. And that's always baffled me. What is that talking about? Anyway, I've never understood this. But now he's adding something new here. He actually says that the grafting from Europe over into America isn't just the Spanish Padres coming over, it's Joseph Smith. And here is especially say Joseph Smith comes over and makes a nice new tree with lots of new light. And then it goes bad and he's still ready to throw it all away. Okay,
But doesn't, so as we read this next verse, doesn't it kind of say the Lord has said to us in 41 that he digged and he pruned, he did everything that you do to a tree, meaning he's doing that with our hearts. He's trying to get us in the right place. And then he's like, okay, I did everything. Now, what is there left? In other words, what can you as a people do? That's why the servant comes up with the answer.
Right, but he's still ready to burn the whole thing even after Joseph Smith is my point.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And one of the things he did to prepare, of course, is to found America and the founding fathers and freedom of religion 50 years before the church is restored. That's part of getting ready, the vineyard ready to have at least freedom so it doesn't get squelched immediately. Okay, verse 42, my turn, right? Verse 42. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, let us go and hew down the trees of the vineyard and cast them into the fire, that they shall not come to the ground of my vineyard, for I have done all I could. What could I have done more for my vineyard? But behold, the servant said to the Lord, spare it yet a little longer. And the Lord said, yea, I will spare it a little longer, for it grieveth me that I should lose the trees of my vineyard.
So the servant, maybe meaning mankind.
Yeah, or the prophets.
Yeah.
Usually the servant's the prophet.
Okay.
Saying to the Lord, just hold off a little bit. Okay.
Steve, right. 43. Let us therefore take the branches of these, which I have planted in the low parts of my vineyard, and graft them on the tree from which they proceeded. That is, in the original graft. And pluck from the tree the branches that give the most bitter fruits, and graft it into its place, the natural branches coming from the original tree, so that the tree does not die, but preserve for me your roots to comply with my purpose. In 44, and behold, the roots of the natural branches of the tree, which I planted where I pleased, are still alive, scattered throughout all the land of my vineyard, that I may preserve them also for a purpose of mine. I will therefore take its branches and graft them again into the original tree. Yea, I will graft upon them the branches of the original tree, that I also may preserve the roots unto myself, that when they are strong enough, they may bring forth good fruits for me, and I may have the glory in the fruit of my vineyard.
Right. Okay. So this now it's making more sense. This is the double grafting thing, which is in the cross grafting back and forth.
But it's after
Joseph Smith is what it looks like. Go ahead.
Could I add something here? I mean, from my farming background, we would burn the fields, you know, to provide fertilizer.
Right.
We make the organic stuff into inorganic accessibility. But the roots survive.
Right.
The roots survive.
Right.
And I see the similarity in this.
And he hasn't actually burned
it. He's ready to wipe it off.
He keeps getting
right. I know, but he's ready to burn it off.
Right, he's ready to
because he knows that the roots.
But
it sounds like he knows that the roots are going to be there.
This is an olive orchard. They talk in the scriptures. They plant grain too, and it's the grain fields where they burn that off because there's nothing there. There's no roots, and you look for potassium to burn it and ashes for fertilizer for the next year. And on their calendar, they had a time of burning, but that was the burning of the wheat fields, barley fields.
Right.
But you don't.
I don't know about olive trees.
Yeah.
Right.
Burning the olive trees is a big deal.
It just occurred to me that if you burn them, that the root may survive. And he talks about having good roots all over the world, all over his vineyard.
Yeah, I like that part. I have an answer to that.
Okay.
Okay, but first I want to say it says here that pluck from the tree the branches that give the most bitter fruit. He's not saying go ahead and take everything that was worst. He says take the ones that are the worst, and that's where you graft in the new branches.
Right.
But I think he's saying that because if you were to take everything out of the tree might
too much of a shock.
Right. So I think that's what that means. And then your second verse where it says that he's planted them scattered throughout all the land of my vineyard. he did that. And remember, the servant said, why did you put those trees in that bad part of the land? And the Lord said, I know what I'm doing. I think we know the roots survive. And as we go forward with our message here, and we are seeking the ones who are awake and who's listening and willing to look at the mysteries of God and learn more, they have that desire in their heart, then they are scattered. They are, there's not just five over here. They're scattered throughout the world. And that's where we're going to come up with the United Order.
That makes perfect sense. And I was just putting it together. The sentiments, aren't those the people? Isn't that what we have, the sentiments to research and follow the Lord? That's the sentiment of the heart.
Right.
We're looking.
And also, remember, the Gentiles are only half of these graphs. The other half are the natural descendants of Joseph and of the son of Lehi's descendants, right? Lamanites and Levites. And I've read about the Hopi when the Mormon missionaries went down there back in the late 1800s to the Indians, especially Hopis. The elders already had the gospel and temple ordinances, and they had already known that the LDS church was messed up. And they said they were waiting. I remember reading this, I read 30 years ago, 40 years, a long time ago.
Haggis.
And I was shocked because I thought, well, we have the true church and everything. Why would they be waiting? But they said they were waiting until the Mormon church was ready and had it right. And I remember being shocked at hearing that because, well, we're the one true church, you know. But now it's more understandable. We weren't the one true church. So anyway, the point is they've got some roots, too, waiting for us. And we've got roots.
We started out as the one true church, but that ended that year.
Right.
Right.
If you didn't hear that, Ed said that it started out as the one true church, and then it was polluted. Right. Yeah. Okay. Verse.
So, Steve, going back to the Mentata archive?
Yes.
I love that. Okay.
Does that make perfect sense?
It does. Okay. We're on.
Are we on 45?
Yes. 45. And it came to pass that they took of the natural tree, which had become wild, and grafted in the natural trees, which also had become wild. And they also took from the natural trees, which had become wild, and grafted in their original tree. That is, though they were many wild branches, all shared in common the sap of the original tree. So that the Lord of the vineyard said to the servant, do not pluck the branches out of the trees, except those that are very bitter, and you shall graft in them as I say.
Okay, so that's what that's what you meant, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, 446. And the Lord of the vineyard then said to his servant, not to pluck out these wild branches which were scattered, which were scattered throughout the vineyard. He also scattered them. Thus, so don't pluck out the wild branches from the scattered tribes. Okay, that's huge.
Oh, okay.
These words are all important.
I know.
It sounds like he's saying the same thing over and over. It is not. Okay. Thus, he said, we will, quote, take care again, quote, of these trees to fulfill that which was written by Nephi concerning the Lord of the vineyard when he shall stretch forth his hand a second time to recover his people, which is of the house of Israel, for the purpose of swapping the branches. That's what I was saying, the crossing. The swapping the branches, that is grafting the natural branch, or no.
There we are.
Okay, there we
are
again.
Nope, no.
Shut down.
We're still recording too, so we're good.
Okay.
All right.
For the purpose of swapping the branches, that is grafting the natural branches in their original tree, so that the Lord of the vineyard came to rejoice for having preserved the roots and also the branches of the first fruit. So that's in the Jerusalem area, is back to the original tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
But isn't it amazing? He says he's going to stretch forth his hand a second time?
Yeah, the second time.
In these scattered areas.
And Mike, I have a comment. There are several times in the Book of Mormon, he talks about, well, it's from Isaiah, that there will be the second time he stretches forth his hand to do this. Well, what's that all about? Well, this, I believe I understand now that the reason this new reborn LDS church, why did he call it the second invitation? Because this second invitation is our time now. Joseph Smith was the first time of trying to collect things, and they basically failed they did fine on the European Gentile tribes of Israel, but on the natural Native American tribes of Israel, this book and others have said that the church has basically failed. The American Indians are still waiting. So this second time has a lot to do, I believe, with the second invitation that we're now in.
Yeah, but 47 is awesome.
Okay, 47. Is that me? Yeah, you just read.
Could we?
Oh, cool.
I was just thinking. I mean, it was taking a minute to sink in, but that feels right about the American Indians and them waiting for the real. And maybe we should reach out to them. Where would we go to do that?
Oh, well, I am contacting over and over several, a few times. Jim McFarland in Wyoming is a member of the tribe up there. He's gone through all the sweat lodges and everything. One of the very few Americans that's actually a member of it. And I'm in contact with him. That's one reason I believe he was called to be an elder and be able to go baptize up there.
Yeah.
And so we're looking to him for heading up that effort in our little branch, in our elders forum. I also am in contact with some in Southern Utah, which have said that they are interested. And I've offered to go down there. If you remember, you probably don't even know, I've written papers on the Toltec calendar, which is the Aztec calendar, which is most of these tribes are from the Aztec descendants, the Uto-Azteca language. So down in the Paiute area of Southern Utah, Central Utah, and Southern. And I've written a paper showing that there's the origin of the LDS church and also of this our reborn church is on the sacred day on the Toltec calendar. That's the Indian calendar.
Yeah.
So we have an in. So I'm trying to work with them and Jim McFarland keeps saying that every time he tries, the people are so messed up by the COVID. They're really taking it seriously and they're afraid to meet at all, and they're told not to meet at all, so he can't even get a group together to tell them things about it. He's trying to get a few of the leaders, and the leaders could get the group anyway. So
which group
we are working on,
which groups are they, the Paiute, the Hopi?
The Hopi, I don't know if we have a good contact there. The ones in Southern Utah I think are mostly the Paiutes. Jim is with the Shoshone, and I think it's the Arapaho. There's two main tribes. I know one is Shoshone, and he's their dentist. So, and they love him because he really cares about them, and most of the pale-faced dentists don't. And anyway, we're trying to work that problem. And we've noticed
it's interesting. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know anything about that. That's very interesting.
Good. Well, that's why we're seeing. It's good for us to meet. Yep.
Okay. The next.
All right.
Next verse.
Did you just read?
I think I did. Steve, it's you, isn't it? Yep. 47.
Yeah. Where are we at? 47.
I think. Or.
Yeah, we're on 47.
Yeah, 47.
Because there's a cool thing right there. You gotta read that. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
And the Lord of the vineyard, and the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, go therefore, send angels again to the land and call servants, and we may labor diligent with it, diligently with all force in my vineyard, that we may prepare the way by which I may obtain again the natural fruit of the vineyard, a fruit that it will be good and more precious than any other fruit. And so let us work this last time with all the commitment you need to rescue my vineyard, for the end is near, and it will be the last time, and I will prune the trees of my vineyard.
Did you catch that?
It will be the last time.
No, right. before that, there's another thing.
Tell us.
It says, he said unto the servants, go therefore, send angels again to the land and call servants. Angels. Moroni.
I just skipped over the angels.
Again to the land and call the servants. Yes. That we may diligently work
with all force in my vineyard.
Yes.
To prepare the way.
That we can get the natural fruit back.
Yeah.
The good sentiment. A fruit that will be good and more precious because we worked at it and we knew what we were working at.
But you know, what we're working at is not a whole success. We're working at preparing the way, and that's what we're doing.
Right.
We're laying the groundwork.
Yep.
And we're just trying to get this off the ground.
Yeah, to rescue my vineyard.
Right, to pull in the Native Americans and everybody else.
Isn't that awesome?
This is awesome.
That was like so cool when I
said that. But he's sending angels again to the land. Wow.
I've read this like so many times.
I've missed that one.
But I didn't get it till just now.
I didn't get it. We didn't know until you said it.
Okay, cool.
I didn't either.
48.
And the branches shall be planted again, beginning with the last, that they may be the first, and that the former be the last. And dig around the trees, both old and new, the first and the last, and the last and the first, so that all come back to be treated for the last time. So dig around them and prune them and fertilize them again for the last time, because the end is near. And if these last grafts develop and produce the natural fruit, then I will prepare the way for them so that they may grow and remain united in me, the Lord of the vineyard.
Okay. So he will prepare things. And I mean that off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, let's make this.
We're still recording.
I know. That.
This is a powerful chapter. This
oh,
is
it
a
is.
Very
I
powerful
love
paragraph
it.
Too.
Okay.
Because he's talking about the good fruit again, the sentiments.
Right.
And he's talking about the whole to the whole world.
Right.
Both the old and the new, first and the last.
Right.
Notice that all
so that they all come back.
Yeah. They all come back. And this is going to have a happy ending. I remember how it comes out. I won't spoil it. Spoiler alert. But also, notice there's nothing in here. There's an off about all the Antichrist and all of the. I've read up on the Antichrist stuff again last week a little bit. And it really talks about it's the wicked that mostly suffer under that. Yeah, the saints somewhat too. But it's mostly them. This is all about the saints. And I'm going to suggest that what he just said here, he said, if this develops and produces natural fruit, that means us, if we, it's referring to us in particular, I believe.
I think so.
Then it says, then I will prepare a way for them. Now, this is the second time. He's going to prepare a way for them so that they may grow and remain united in me. That is where we get, hopefully, protected by going to Zion in a safe place where we are not suffering from all the Antichrist stuff.
Right.
I think that little sentence was it. I'll prepare a place where they can grow. Well, why couldn't they just grow? Because the rest of the world's going to be really in bad shape. Okay, 49. It's my turn. 49. And as they begin to grow, now that's us right now, you will take away the branches that bear fruit. that is bitter feelings, according to the strength and size of the good, and you shall not take away the wicked all at once, lest the roots become too strong for the graft, and your graft die, and lose the trees of my vineyard again. Therefore, you will remove the evil feelings as the good ones grow. Ah, see, the fruit is the feelings. That's what we were doing. We talked before this started recording. We talked about each of us in a group here removing whatever evil feelings we can recognize right. We still have. That's what this is talking about. So that the root of the treetops have the same strength until the good feelings overpower the bad, and the bad are cut and thrown into the fires, and so on. So the bad.
The ones that don't believe, the ones that aren't awake.
Right. So I will continue. I will consume the wicked out of my vineyard forever.
Yeah, because he's not coming back another time. This is
right.
The last, this is the last time.
And this is all really serious. All right. Any other? Go ahead, Steve, if there's no other comment.
This has opened up a little bit of a different parallel of understanding, because I look at branches, fruit, and roots, and we're talking about him and what he's doing, and here we are again, and he talks about, if we do this last time, that they may grow and remain united in me. And it just occurred to me that we were talking about the things that we're working on, our murmurings and these things. Are we not both branches and a fruit and a root? I mean, in some ways, is that not?
We are.
Yeah. And in a way, if we're ancestors, we're roots. If we're living, we're branches.
Right.
And here he's really consistent that the fruit is the feelings. He talks about work. He's very consistent.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's the feelings. So getting rid of
that would be the spirit.
Getting rid of evil feelings.
That would be, it's not, I don't know this, I'm going to have to chew on this a little bit, but it feels like the carnal tabernacle somewhat about, I don't know, I have to get more clear on it before I discuss it.
There is a spot here where he again, he said this before, but he's saying this again. Don't take away the wicked all at once.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had an moment. Remember when he talked about getting rid of the murmurings? And he said, focus on one at a time. He listed about eight things
to
get rid of. And he said, get rid of one and don't try to do them all at once. Get rid of one and then move on to the next and then on to the next.
Yeah.
That is getting rid of the evil fruit one at a time within one single person.
Yes.
Yeah, because he says if you do that, your graft might die. If someone came in and told me I have to give up
everything,
I'm not going to make it.
Right,
I'm gonna fail.
Right.
No. It's been a whole lifetime. We know that for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Someone.
But he does. Then he goes on to say, he says the good feelings overpower the bad.
Right.
Now, when the people, when we become strong enough in the second invitation and we overpower the bad feelings within ourselves, we have a chance to teach that to others to overpower their bad feelings. And then there is strength in what the Lord is going to come back to. He has to have a certain amount of strength in his vineyard.
They've got to be living the celestial law. Or he won't come. Zion has to be founded on the celestial law, including the all things in common and everything.
You have to look at
one heart, one mind.
Yeah, that's it. Because the balance, Lord has to be where there is goodness.
Right.
He can't come back into a world that is
polluted.
Corrupted and polluted and hateful.
Right.
He will not come back if Satan has total control of the world.
You're saying it's important that we really do this.
Yeah, but Peter's paper said that too. Peter said, okay, get rid of it.
Yes,
right. Got it.
Yeah, he was
simple command.
He was frustrated. Could
have obeyed easily.
But I didn't get that. No, I've listened to those.
I'm, Yeah, no, I'm just starting to absorb this in a personal way. This is not about some trees and dirt. This is about me and my ancestors and my church and my family. And
it's all about Steve.
We're
all looking to you to repent because we don't want. Not just a little joke.
No. Yeah,
we all have.
But I understand this better.
It's awesome. We're all coming together.
Okay, let's move on. We got it's going to run out of time.
And where are we?
I think we are on
50.
Yeah, so Steve, you're reading 50 and 51, I think.
Okay. And the branches of the natural tree, I will graft in the natural branches. I will graft in the natural branches of the tree, and I will gather them again, and they may bring forth the natural fruit, and they shall be one in me again. The Lord of the vineyard, for how much the wicked shall be thrown out, and even out of all the land of my vineyard, and burned. For behold, only this time will I prune my vineyard. That's
a little English problem there. I think
only this time I will prune.
I think he's saying that he's going to prune it more than he never has before.
Yeah, or else it's just one more time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at the end.
51. You all right?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. 51.
Yeah, I'm fine.
And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant did as the Lord commanded him, and brought other servants. And there were few.
But see, he brought other servants. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, the angel I will tell you.
Yeah.
And then we're being gathered. There's still not very many of us.
We're some of the servants, and I know several in Brazil, and they're the same. The ones I know in Brazil are the same first servants that were with Joseph Smith. Anyway,
let me read the next one too.
Yeah, read the next one.
And the Lord of the vineyard said to them, go and work in the vineyard with all your might. That's what Peter said in his letter. For behold, this is the last time that I have dealt with my vineyard, because the end is near and is rapidly approaching. And if you work busy with me, then I will have joy in the fruit that I will keep for myself in the time that will soon come when these sentiments will be essential to keep you united in the last days, that ye may work hard in my vineyard for the last time, and I, the Lord of the vineyard, will also work with you if you obey my commandments in all things.
Yeah.
It's
wonderful.
Yeah.
I do understand that.
Yep.
This is sinking into all of us.
Yeah.
53.
Yeah.
You want to comment first?
No, I'm just sitting here kind of enjoying the moment.
Well, you know,
I'm understanding this better.
This comes to us, and the Lord says, where two or three, or even a few more, are gathered.
Yeah.
And we got four. He will be with us. And when I'm alone reading this, I get some things, but when we're together doing this, we get
I get a lot
much more than by ourselves. Okay, so you read those 53. And thus the vineyard will return to produce the natural fruit, and the natural branches will begin to grow and develop greatly, and the wild branches will again be plucked and thrown away in order to preserve the equality of strength between the root and the tree canopy. And so these chosen servants will work with all diligence according to the commandments of the Lord in the vineyard until the wicked are thrown out of the vineyard. And see and the Lord has preserved for himself the righteous tree, the plantation of Jehovah. So again, I just want to comment on how consistent he is in the symbol. When you put pruning branches, those are people and those are the wicked people. But the wild fruit are the bad feelings. And you can pluck the wild fruit and not damage the tree or a branch. So we can work on getting rid of our bad feelings and bad murmurings and habits, whatever, and replace them. But see, that's very different from the branches. The branches are burned, the bad ones.
Yeah.
You got burnings coming. Yeah. Okay. Any other comment?
No.
54. These will become again in the natural fruit, whose roots will be firmly established next to the source of clean water. And they have become as one body, whose fruits will be equal. And the Lord of the vineyard will preserve for himself the natural fruit of this tree, that is, the chosen seed, in relation to his vineyard in the last days, which will be very precious to him from the beginning of the fullness of time.
Okay, and the beginning of the fullness of time is Joseph Smith's time. We're at the end of the fullness.
Yeah, but you know, when you put all of this together, it says the roots, you know, we're going to be established next to the source of clean waters and become one body. We have to have the feelings that create the one body.
Right.
That pull us into even wanting to be in the United Order.
Right.
And it's being in the United Order with no grumblings, with that, all those good sentiments, good fruit, that will establish again the city of Enoch, which the Lord is looking for, the second one. We're going to build the second one.
Yeah, city of Zion, yeah.
Yeah. And as much as we've listened to church leaders talk about the law of consecration, they have never, ever put it into this format.
No. Well, and the corporate church gave it up.
Yeah.
A lot. I think Heber C. Kimball is the last one to even give a talk on it and make a ditch effort, last ditch effort. Okay, 55. And it came to pass that when the Lord of the vineyard saw that his fruit was good and that his vineyard was no more corrupt, he called his servants and said to them, behold, for the last time we have tended my vineyard, and I see that I have done good according to my will, and I have kept the natural fruit, which is good, even as it was in the beginning. And blessed are ye because you were diligent. Oh, that's important, as it was in the beginning. The final end of this is to go back to be like in the days of Adam, way back in the beginning.
Beginning of the fruit.
Yeah, beginning of the whole vineyard. Yeah. And blessed, and see, that's what the roots are. And blessed are ye because ye were diligent in working with me in my vineyard for the last time, and because you kept my commandments and you brought again the natural fruit unto me, the Lord.
Yeah. Wow. And you brought it in the natural fruit.
56, Steve.
Over. Okay. Behold, my workers shall rejoice with me because of the fruit of my vineyard in the last days. Behold, therefore, when the time cometh when bad fruit shall appear again in my vineyard, then I will separate the good fruit and the bad fruit, and the good fruit I will keep for myself, but the bad ones I will throw into their own place. And then come the time and the end, and I will cause my vineyard to be burned with fire.
Okay, so that sounds like when he says the time cometh when bad fruit will appear again, that sounds like end of the millennium. What we've been talking about is people are going to be successful with the good fruit. And he doesn't say 1,000 years pass away here. But that's when the bad fruit again appears at the end of the millennium. And that's when he burns the whole earth. I mean, there's a burning of there's two burnings. There's a burning of the wicked before the second coming.
Right.
And we can smell the smoke here in Duchesne, by the way.
Yeah.
The wildfire. It was bad yesterday. Wildfire.
Yeah, it's in our homes. The smoke. No, the smoke.
Yeah. Are being deliberately started.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But
this is playing.
Right. But nevertheless, we can smell it here. But at the very end, the whole earth is really burned again and celestialized. And anyway, so that's, I think now we're talking at the very end of the earth and the judgment.
Okay.
So we got the last few verses here.
57. And now, making use of some of the words of Jacob, verily, verily, I say unto you, the things that the prophet Zenas said concerning the house of Israel, comparing it to a good olive tree, surely shall come to pass. And on the day when I, the Lord, shall again stretch out my hand a second time to recover my people, it will be the day, yea, the last time that the servants of the Lord will, with their power, take care of his vineyard and will prune it. And after that, soon the end will come.
Hey, I've got a comment I've never noticed on this verse before. And that is, if you read carefully, when Jacob starts, the first couple of verses in Jacob chapter 5, where he's going to go into the parable of the allegory of the olive tree. Maybe it's the end of the chapter before. He said, I, Jacob, will now give you my personal prophecy. And you read that and say, wow, we're going to get a prophecy from Jacob. And then he said, here's my prophecy. My prophecy is that the prophecy and the allegory of Zenas is true. And it will happen. That's my prophecy. Now let's look at that. The Savior quotes Jacob here. And he says, now making use of some of the words of Jacob, I say unto you, that's Jesus.
Yeah.
I say unto you, the things that the prophet said concerning the house of Israel shall come to pass. That's the Lord's prophecy.
Yeah.
Quoting Jacob's prophecy. Quoting
Zenas.
Isn't that a subtle detail? But anyway, yeah. Right there. That's awesome. See, the Lord's quoting Jacob. That's so fun. 58. Behold, will you reject these words preserved by my own hand for a wise purpose?
Future.
For a wise future purpose. Now, this is the Lord speaking. This isn't Moroni this time. This isn't Jonah, the three Nephites. The Lord is saying, these are the last verses of what we've been given. The Lord says, will you reject these words preserved by my own hand for a wise future purpose? Will you reject the words of the prophets and all the words spoken by me, Jesus Christ, in this record, meaning the sealed book?
Right.
Will you deny the power of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to thee by the laying on of hands by those who have authority to do so? That's a wow to me.
Yeah, that's like saying, hey, wake up.
Well, it's saying you've got this book. People that reject this book, I mean, anyway, go ahead.
Well, here's what 59.
Yeah.
We were on 59, right?
59, go for it.
Behold, well, after 58, behold, in so doing, you will erase forever the flame of the Holy Spirit who dwells in your heart. And with this attitude, you will mock the grand plan of redemption that has been established for you since the foundation of the world. Know ye not that if you will do these things, then the power of redemption and the resurrection, which is in me, Jesus Christ, will bring you with shame and terrible guilt at the judgment seat of God on the last day.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is telling you exactly how it is.
That spells it out pretty clearly. I don't think that leaves room for denial or interpretation or misunderstanding.
That's Savior, that's not, you can't say, oh, well, this guy is a fanatic or going, that's the Savior saying, if you reject my words, well, he says, my sheep know my voice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's read the last one.
You reject his words, you're going to the judgment seat with shame and guilt because you've screwed up.
No.
I don't think there's any way to make it clearer.
That last verse.
Oh, my beloved sons, repent ye and enter in at the straight gate and continue in the way which is narrow until ye shall obtain eternal life. Until I shall meet you before the pleasing bar of God, which bar striketh the wicked with awful dread and fear. Amen.
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 Wow.
Good meeting.
Very clear.
I know.
Nobody can say.
I've read this several times.
Pardon?
I've read several times, and I've never, there was some of this today that was pure revelation. I mean, I understood it. I've read it before.
That's powerful. Wow. I've read that before too, but it's more powerful today. All of it's more powerful today than it has been before. So I think it's very good to be studying it together and each person taking a turn having the Spirit reveal something to them. All righty. All right. I think.
Are we ready? We're just going to stop the recording, but not end. Just go over there.
Right to here. Yeah. All right. Who knows what we'll do next time, but we will meet again.
Well, Steve, don't.
It will be inspired.
Yes.
Okay.
Who with a capital W. All right. Bye-bye.